88.3 FM, WXOU, Auburn Hills. Welcome back to the Greg Campy Show, the final edition of the Greg Campy Show for this, I guess you could still say the 2011-2012 season, but whatever you want to call it, we're done today.
Yeah, this is it. So anybody's got any questions that are pressing, I'm not coming on again until the fall, so get them in.
Yeah, get them in now. 248-370-4274. If you want to make a call, if you want to talk to Coach Campy, now's your time. We're taking calls here on the show today if you're so intrigued.
Or just email it, right?
You could. You can hit me up on Twitter personally at cornerpocket422. You can tweet us as well at WXOU if you want to go that route. Or you can find me on Facebook. The name is just Matt Pocket. You'll find me there. My current photo, one that you might remember, with the Dr. Pepper and the Statue of Liberty poster board just outside the Oakland Post next door.
There you go.
That was a good photo. I really like that one.
Yeah.
So it's still up there on my Facebook. So if you're having any problems finding it, just look for Greg Campy on there. You'll find him. Coach, how you doing lately? How you been?
It's been a busy spring. One that's been kind of bittersweet. The recruiting hasn't gone real well. We've just not been able to finish some of the kids that we were in on, and so we're sitting here trying to figure out what we're going to do now. But you know, sometimes that happens, fortunately, we've got a very, very good team coming back that I really like our chances. I like the couple new kids that are coming in. I like them a lot. And, I foresee a really big year for us next year, the kind that we expect around here. I think that, that's going to be a possibility. I know that both Dakotas are going to be really, really good. South Dakota already thinks they're in the Final Four. So, they're fans, and that's all I've heard about is, getting back and winning a game. And I suppose that that's how they should feel with the team they've got coming back. And I know North Dakota State has a very talented young team that faltered down the stretch, and I'm sure they're using that as motivation during the summer for those kids to work extremely hard. I think you're going to find that they're going to be probably picked second. We'll probably be picked third, I would guess. Maybe Western Illinois will be picked third, and we'll be picked fourth. I think a lot of people sleep on us because of losing the leading scorer in the country.
Absolutely.
I think that, there's a lot of people are wondering where we're going to get our points from, but I've coached Oakland for a long time, and getting points has never been a problem.
No, it hasn't, including, as we talked about earlier on in the season, a couple of games in the, 180s?
Yeah. Yeah, well, those
goodness.
Days are long gone, though.
Well, with South Dakota State, they're returning everybody except Griffin Callahan, a guy who, at least numbers-wise, I don't think that he averaged 10 points. I'm not sure. He might have been right around the 10 points
he's
a game mark.
Somewhere. But he was the heart and soul
he
of
was.
Team. He really was. I mean, he is a young man that had that fire in his belly, and you got to have that.
He was the perfect complement to a guy like Nate Walters, just a laid-back, low-key guy, and then you've got that intense Griffin Callahan to come in there. It's a fire and ice almost.
Right. And the other thing is they've still got motivation, too, because they still have never won a Summit League championship in the regular season. They won the tournament. They beat, they had a situation where we lost and they didn't have to go through us. And then Oral Roberts lost and they didn't have to go through them. So, it was a year of magic for them, and I'm sure that they understand that and that they're going to be really, really poised and ready to win the regular season. They'll be picked probably unanimously to win it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
As for North Dakota State, they return Lawrence Alexander, who was the freshman point guard last year. Rave reviews about him through the first half of the season. And then when they came in here, they weren't really having their best run of form, as they would say over in the soccer world. And then after that, it didn't seem like they really finished the season all that well, but that's a very talented team. They bring back Taylor Braun, a guy who shoots about 80,000% from the floor.
Well, if you were to take their team in their two games against us, they were the best team in the league, in my opinion.
They were
the
excellent.
The two games they played against us were phenomenal. So we only know that. And so I don't know what happened to them and why they faltered and all that kind of stuff, but I know that, Alexander was just unbelievable against us. He reminded me a lot of Jonathan Jones.
Game-winning three here in the arena. Yeah. I believe that was on homecoming, too, when he stuck that with 4 seconds left.
We don't lose at homecoming very often.
We don't lose at home very often.
And then you had Taylor Braun, who I think coming back will be one of the top five players in the league for sure. I mean, no doubt. That'll be unanimous. And then, you know, Trayvon is a very athletic player, the big kid. Forget his name now, but they've got the big kid will be a junior. And he's gotten better.
Bjorklund?
Bjorklund, yeah. He's gotten better each year. I really think that they're going to be the sleeper team, and maybe not a sleeper, maybe everybody else thinks the same way, but they're going to be a really good basketball team. South Dakota State's going to be a really good basketball team. Western Illinois is going to be a really good basketball team.
Yeah, and as for them, real quick, they brought Ceola Clark back. That was something that...
Did he get his sixth year?
Yeah, he did. They didn't actually even honor him at senior night. They were so sure he was going to be back, and then he announced on Twitter a couple of weeks ago that he got it. So,
yeah,
he's back.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got him and the big kid back, and, I mean, that's a good basketball team. So they'll probably be picked ahead of us, too. So, and then the rest of them, I think there's a, you know... Fort Wayne, they got Gaines, so they're going to be good. They were young last year. Those kids are going to be
good. Didn't Gaines graduate? I thought he was a senior.
No, he was only a junior.
Junior, okay. Yeah.
And then Indianapolis, I think they're the question mark team. Their top three players are gone in Young and Siakam and their point guard. I forget his name, but those three were their best players.
Was it Leroy Nobles?
No, Nobles was gone the year before.
Nobles was the year before, that's right.
If you said his name, I'd remember it. But
we'll get the research department on this.
He had transferred in from Dayton, so he had his couple years. But those three are gone, so I don't know much about them. South Dakota State lost a really good player. Actually, they lost two really good – not South Dakota State. South Dakota lost two really good players. They're in their building stages, though, so they'll be dangerous. I don't know anything about Nebraska-Omaha.
Nobles was there this year, but Stephen Thomas, I think, is the guy you're thinking of.
Stephen Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. He was the point
Nobles
guard.
Nobles was on their team this year?
Yeah, yeah. He played in 32 of their games, averaged 18.3 a game.
So they lost their four. They lost their four best players.
Yeah.
They lost Nobles. They lost Young. They lost Siakam, and they lost Stephen Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Who else is in our league?
They got gutted.
Yeah.
They got absolutely raided. Kansas, my graduation.
Kansas City. I don't know. Like I
they're
said,
losing
I don't know
Chamberlain.
Anything about New Orleans or New Orleans. New what's Omaha? Omaha, Nebraska, the new team in our league. I don't know anything about them.
Oral Roberts is gone, so you won't have to worry about them.
Utah's gone.
Speaking of which, really quick, over on the women's side, women's head coach Jerry Finkbeiner over at ORU. I saw a report in the Tulsa World about a week or so back that he might leave for
gone.
Utah State. Okay,
he's
so he did, it is done. Official.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So who else is in our league? We've got the Dakotas, Omaha, Kansas City.
Southern Utah's gone. I think you got it about covered. I mean, there's Nebraska, Omaha. There's UMKC, South Dakota. Yeah, you got them all.
Okay, so, you know,
just
so
like that.
We're probably going to be picked, I would guess, fourth. And I would think, let's see, you know, Kansas City and South Dakota will probably be 8-9 in one of those two orders. So we're 5-6-7 would be the Fort Wayne, IUPUI, and I'm missing somebody.
UMKC.
Oh, I had them in the 8-9.
Because there's Nebraska, Omaha,
so Omaha will probably pick 9.
Yeah.
And
South Dakota might just squeak in.
South Dakota and Kansas City would be 8-7. Fort Wayne and IUPUI will probably be 6-5. We'll probably be 4, Western 3, North Dakota State 2. And South Dakota State, unanimously will probably be picked to win it. Although some reporter in North Dakota might not want to pick South Dakota State. So
right.
They may pick the Bison so they're not.
Just to spite them. Right. Well, Nebraska Omaha, just an update on them. They went 11-18 a year ago. Their final game of the season was a 72-51 loss against Western Illinois. For Western Illinois, that's the equivalent to Oakland scoring 172 points. That's a lot for a Jim Molinari team, but they play such good defense. They got a bunch of wins in Division II. They lost 83-80 at home against IPFW on December the 10th. They lost 83-81 at South Dakota and 77-74 at UMKC. They played IPFW in their opener and lost 83-72 in Fort Wayne. So that's them going up against the bottom tier of the Summit League for the most part. They played Western Illinois.
I don't think anybody really knows much about them.
Right.
And I would guess from the reporters and the writers that do the picking of the preseason won't know anything about them. And, you know, obviously it's like they did with South Dakota this year. They picked them last and because they were new in the league, and they'll probably do the same thing with Omaha.
So Nebraska-Omaha did struggle against some of the teams that finished near the bottom of the Summit League, and then Western Illinois dispatched them pretty handily.
But you don't know what they had.
I mean,
they knew they were going to be eligible to compete next year in our league, so you don't know what they redshirted. You know, they may have had their four best players, might not have played last year. So, you, like I said, it's you can't really go by that.
John Carhoff is listed as a sophomore. He's a 6'8", 215 center who averaged 13 points per game. Then there's Mitch Albers, who averaged 18.3 points per game. It looks like he was probably a junior college transfer because he has a profile on ESPN dating back to the 07-08 season, but there's no statistics in there for him. It's just this year, but he's a senior. So my guess is he was probably a JUCO transfer who has graduated.
Oh, he graduated. So
yeah.
So, you know, who knows what's going on with them. We'll see him. We'll get film of them in the preseason, and we'll be ready when we think we play them at home the first weekend that the kids come back in January, like January 3rd, I think we play.
So on that
Thursday night.
Right there. Okay. Well, Coach, real quick, you know, we were talking about it a little bit before the show. You know, the transfer window, I guess you could say, starting to kind of slip away now. Oakland has not made any moves in the any signings in the transfer period. Just talk to us about what the process has been like. Now, obviously, you can't get into any names or anything, but, you know, whatever you can tell us.
Yeah, I mean, it appeared at one time, I think a month or so ago, I told you on this show that I was pretty certain that we were going to get one or two, and I really was at that time, and that just shows you how this goes. One of the kids that we lost signed at St. John's, we thought for sure was coming here. And there's been a couple others that we thought we were going to get that we didn't, that they've chosen to transfer somewhere else. So that was disheartening and disappointing because, you know, we really felt that, you know, 2 years out from now when they would be eligible to play, they would have really helped our team and our program, especially if some of them had size. And, you know, we need some size.
Yeah.
So with Kyle leaving, we definitely need some size. We still have the possibility of a couple others. It's getting late, though, and my guess is, you know, we're starting to prepare to go into our season with only 10 scholarship players next year. That's what we're sitting with right now is 10, and we're really starting the preparation as that's what we're going to do. Now, I like the 10 kids we have, and there's normally a year where very seldom is there a year when we dress more than 10 kids anyways because we usually redshirt in that. So I'm not concerned about, you know, only having 10, I'm concerned about my next recruiting class, though. It's going to have to be a stellar recruiting class. We really, really need to put together the class of 2013 has to be one that's very special. The good for us is that, you know, we've been working on that class for a long time, although we have thought we were only going to have 1 to 2 scholarships in it. And now all of a sudden we could have 4.
Got a couple more.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, if we don't do anything else, we're going to have 4 scholarships in that class. And, you know, the emphasis has got to be on point guard. We have to bring a point guard in. And then we're going to need to bring a shooter in because Bader's starting to get old.
A little long in the tooth.
Yeah. And
I think he's younger than I am, which is kind of funny to say. But
yeah. And then we need bigs. You know, we probably need a point, a shooter, a big, and then the best available is what we need. But we're not going to settle. We're not just going to grab a kid because we have scholarships. We are trying to raise our profile. We're trying to raise the level of kid that we're recruiting. We went after them, and we played in the big waters, and we didn't come out with any fish this time.
Well, you guys did sign Victorious Mirkovicius. Darren Sorensen couldn't confirm last week, but am I saying that right?
I have no clue. I just call him Victor.
Vic. Okay. Hey, yeah, Victor. Yeah. You know,
when I'm around him for a while, I'll be able to figure that out. Yeah, Vic signed. I will tell you that Mike Lewis is not going to make it academically. The kid that we signed from Louisiana, that's why I said 10 scholarships. We knew when we signed him that it was going to be, he had his ACL, and we were able to get in on him because a lot of the bigs dropped off, a 6'11 kid from the South. It was disappointing, but, you know, we're working with him. We're probably going to try and place him either in a JC or a...
Well, look what the cat dragged in.
Yeah, wow. But we're either going to place him in a prep school or in a junior college, and hopefully we'll see him someday here. But he is not going to make it.
So he will not be at Oakland next year?
He will not be at Oakland next year. Okay. So it's even worse than some people probably thought because, you know, they were counting on that we had the two bigs coming in, and we're only going to have one big coming in. And while I really like him, though.
Lloyd Neely's big, just not in that way.
Yeah, Lloyd Neely is a poor man's Draymond Green. I mean, that's how he plays, that style of basketball. He can go inside, he can go outside, he can handle it. He's a thick body like that. I mean, there's a reason he was the player, the PSL player of the year. I mean, he can really go. And I'm telling you, he's a miniature Draymond Green if you want to know what he is. I think there's some YouTube videos of him out there, and I know I've had some people say they saw that and how impressed they were with him. But he's going to be a special basketball player at Oakland. So we're adding him and Victor. Both of them are high-quality, you know, in our opinion, high-quality recruits that we're fortunate to get. Again, we went out and fought some really good teams, and we won those two battles where we lost a bunch of others.
Well, let me give you a quote for you folks out there, this off OUGrizzlies.com, from the man who's sitting next to me, Coach Greg Campy. Quote, "We are very excited to sign Victor because he meets a need we have. I believe he can play the four or the five. He's a great free throw shooter, good jump shooter, left-handed, and will fit very well in our dribble drive offense as a four. We believe he has a chance to play right away." That was you, of course.
Yeah, and, you know, he's left-handed and he's really good.
But he shoots right from the post.
Well, he can shoot with both.
I mean,
that's what you want out of a kid. But we can put him in that right corner in the dribble drive and run that little loop action to him where he comes off with a big guarding him. And he's going to be able to get by people with that left hand coming hard to the middle of the floor. I don't know how good of a passer he is. We think he's a good passer, but on that you never know till they play against.
Right.
You know, they may be good passers against high school kids, but when you get in and you're playing, you're 18 and you're playing against somebody 23, you know, that the reaction times and all that change. So whether he's a good passer or not, we won't know that till we get him. But I really can see him coming off the loop in that dribble drive. I also see him now, where when we signed him, we weren't looking at this, of playing the post, you know, when Petros is out. We can also move him down there. We can play Lloyd now at the four. Lloyd's really... grooming Lloyd to take Valentine's spot. That's Lloyd's... come in here for a year, and that's what in the recruiting is. You're going to get minutes as a freshman behind Valentine, and I may move you around to the four a little bit too. But your position at Oakland is Valentine's position. And so, you know, all this can go out the window when you throw the ball up on October 15th for the first practice, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen then. He could end up being our point guard as skilled as he is with the ball at 400 pounds or whatever he weighs, you know. I mean, he's a big kid. I think he told me the other day on the phone he's down to 230. He's lost some weight. So, but my point being is you never know what's going to happen. But those are two quality players that really fit our system. Those kids fit the dribble drive. And, you know, we could go out and get a good player that doesn't fit our system, and what good is that, you know. And so while our recruiting class is a very small one, we think it's a high-quality one.
Absolutely, and if you're interested in seeing a video on Victor, you can go to OUGrizzlies.com. There's a video there. I also tweeted one back on May the 1st, direct off YouTube. If you go to either one of them, you can find the link. There's two videos out there, and they both link to each other.
Victor's a legitimate 6'8", 6'8", yeah. And a half. I mean, he's legitimate.
He's a big boy.
He's not one of these 6'8 kids that is listed 6'8", but he's really 6'6", or 6'11", that's really 6'9". I mean, we listed him what he is, 6'8", 6'8", and a half. And he's a hard-nosed kid. He plays hard. You know, I mean, he's a European kid, but he's had a year in the States. So he's played here in prep school in California. So it's not like he's coming and he's going to be surprised by the level of play or American basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I think some people looked at with Ilya Milutinovic, you know, can he step in? Can he handle playing American basketball? And, you know, he got in some foul trouble early on in his career, but he adjusted very well.
It took him a while, but I firmly believe if Ilya had stayed one more year and played his fourth year, that you know, the outcome of a bunch of games would have been different last year, and I do believe that he probably would be making a lot more money right now than he is currently making.
Presently.
Yeah, because he would have really helped his stock. But, you know, he had his degree. He got his degree in 3 years, and he came here and did what he wanted to do and went on. So, you know, I'm not upset with him about it. I feel bad about it because I think he'd be making more money, and obviously I think we would have won more games.
Well, and another ex-Golden Grizzly who has been competing abroad, Jonathan Jones, called into the show yesterday, last week, on his birthday, no less, the day after he got back here into the U.S., second place finish with Komarno over in Slovakia. So not a bad way to represent Oakland out
there. Yeah, we're hoping
that
he can parlay that into a little more money next year and maybe take the next step up in the leagues over there.
Absolutely. So, Coach, you know, we always hear about, you know, the recruiting trail and when you're out there and obviously you go to games whenever you can. What is a day like out there when you're on the recruiting trail in the off season? You know, obviously game day is one thing. Recruiting is something completely different. Give us a bit of a rundown on what that's like for you.
Well, the off season recruiting is AAU and tournaments, and you go to a city that's holding a tournament that's probably got 100 teams in it, and they're using 15 different gyms, and you hope that the paperwork that you get is right.
And that the kid's going to be there.
And that, yeah, the kids are going to be. There's always going to be good kids, so if yours isn't there, they'll find some. But then it's a matter of, you know, at 9 a.m., you got to be at, just recently I was in Akron for the LeBron James, the King James tournament. And, you know,
do they crown a champion?
Yeah. At 9 a.m., I was at a school in Stowe, or just outside of Stowe, Ohio. And at 10:15, I had to be 25 minutes away at Barberton High School. And so you go and you watch three quarters of it, and then you hop in your car and you drive down to Barberton. And then at 11:30, you got to be at a different gym. And you know, so it's you're running around. You're hoping that the paperwork is right. You're hoping that games are on time. You're hoping that when you get there that, you know, that the referees aren't, you know, going to referee a game like they're in the Big Ten or something, so that your kid gets three fouls and he's out, you know. I went and watched my own kid play the other night. He had two fouls in the first 45 seconds. You know, I don't get to see him play much. And there he is with two fouls in 45 seconds because, I mean, it's AAU basketball, and these guys thought that they're refereeing a Big Ten game or something. I don't know. So, you know, I mean, you have all that you're juggling while you're doing this. And then, and then of course, you have to pay money for these people that run these tournaments make money off it. And one of the way they make money is that they sell to the college coaches, you know, the hundreds of college coaches that are there. They sell what's called a booklet. And in the book is the name of all the teams, the schedule, each kid that's on the team, his number, who he is, his home phone number, you know, his information about him. And
so is life, basically.
Yeah, well, but normally they're not right. But, you know, you're going to pay $300 for that book. So if I'm in Akron paying $300 for that book, and Saadi is in St. Louis the same weekend, and Darren or Tungate is in Minnesota the same weekend,
that's some cheese.
Yeah, you're paying, you're spending a lot of money to do this. The good of it is there are hundreds of kids there. So you're getting, in one weekend, you're getting to see, you know, the 15 kids that you want to see. You get to see them all in one weekend. So, I mean, it isn't the best system, but it's the one we have, and we have to work with it.
Sorry, you got access to the Tom Izzo jet, right? So you can just plink around wherever you want?
No, Tom's never asked me to get on that.
We're heading the same way. Yeah, you can pick me up, right? Brian Everson joining us here on the show as well, here on the Greg Campy Show. Our final show of this season. You know, Coach, you know, in between recruiting, I mean, I'm sure you get a little bit of downtime here and there. A little bit?
Well, I'll have a lot of downtime in May. May's a good month. If you coach college basketball, May's a month that you can, if you don't you know, overdo yourself on speaking engagements and things like that, you can get yourself a lot of downtime in May. So May and August are usually the two best months. Now, our kids just came back to school this Monday. So, and we lost Drew Valentine, had an emergency appendectomy on Sunday. So he had surgery, or was it Saturday? It was either Saturday or Sunday he went in and had an emergency appendectomy.
Didn't he have like a gallbladder or something like that last year?
No, he had knee surgery.
Knee surgery. Knee surgery. I remember somebody went in for something, and it was just really quick.
Brittany Carnagle had gallbladder surgery.
Yeah.
But Drew had his appendix out, emergency appendectomy on the weekend in Lansing. So he's still home. But we had the rest of them were here, and we're back at it and starting a championship run already while everybody else is home for the summer. These kids are here, and they'll be in that weight room. And with our strength coach, we hired a new strength coach, Sam Brown, and
yep.
Sam's got them for the summer, and I feel pretty good about Sam and what he's going to do with them. Because if you'll remember, I said I thought our biggest weakness is our strength. I thought we were a young, weak team, and we're going to take measures to make sure that next year we're going to be a young, strong team, because we'll still be very young next year with only one senior.
Sam Brown was a football standout at the Virginia Military Institute from 2000 to 2003. He'll handle strength and conditioning for men's and women's basketball and assist with day-to-day operations. He's worked with men's and women's track and field, as well as softball, came to Oakland from Ohio, where he worked as an assistant strength and conditioning coach for football, baseball, wrestling, softball, and hockey for a couple of years. So Sam's been around a little bit.
Trying to put our listeners to sleep or what?
Maybe.
Those off.
Maybe. Sam's been around a little bit. He knows his stuff.
Sam will do a heck of a job. I feel pretty confident that you won't be hearing me next year say that our biggest problem is our weakness.
What's going to change, I guess, looking at it from right now in the off season?
Well, I think that if we played tonight, we would probably be maybe one of the biggest teams that I've ever put out on the floor. You know, you're looking at Duke Monday starting at the point at just under 6'4". You've got Bader at the 2 at 6'5". You got Valentine at the 3 at 6'5". Who knows who's going to be at the 4, but it could be Victor at 6'9". It could be Lloyd Neely at 6'6". It could be
Dante
Williams at 6'6". So we're going to be tall, long, and athletic. You know, Ryan Bass, I would like to bring off the bench. You've heard me say that a million times. Maybe I can't. Maybe he will start. Who knows? But I think that appears to be a very, very good defensive team. I don't see a defensive weakness out there. I think people try and pick on Bader every once in a while. You know, they'll spread the floor and take him one-on-one. But again, with added strength, you know, that's probably the last piece of his game that has to get to what I think would say NBA level, because I think offensively he's an NBA level player. So, you know, I think that we could see some, you know, we could see a team that is probably more defensive-minded than any team I've coached in a long, long time at Oakland University. I don't look at our team and see a hole defensively, and we've had that. Even our great teams have had, you know, a hole there defensively, and I just don't see that. Duke Monday is a tremendous defender. Just long and athletic and can get after the ball, and he's got great anticipation. He led the Big East in steals. Sometimes steals are misleading, though. Sometimes bad defenders, they're always out of position and they end up getting loose balls. But that's not Duke. Duke can really guard, and with Valentine, and if Dante Williams continues to grow and get bigger and stronger, he has tremendous defensive ability. So it could be a great defensive team. Again, the rebounding will be an issue. We'll find out how good of a defensive rebounding team we are. I never worry about scoring points. We'll score points. The pace we play and what we do, we'll score points.
I know you guys want off the court, you guys want Corey to get stronger. What aspects of his game do you guys want him to work on, you know, on the floor?
Well, he'll matriculate just like Will Hutson and Keith Benson did. You know, you'll see both of them. Him eventually be able to step out and shoot the 15-foot jump shot. I think he can do it. It's just not something we want him doing yet. We've got to get him where he can make the hook with both hands. You know, he really, as the year went on and things went bad, he became one-dimensional, trying to make the same move all the time over the left shoulder. He's got to be able to go over both shoulders, and I think you've seen our bigs over the years do that. Will Hutson couldn't make a left-handed hook when he got here, and when he left, he could make them all day. Keith Benson the same, although Benson was a little bit better at it as a freshman than Hutson was. They can hook over both shoulders. They need to be able to square up and make the 15-foot jump shot. We need to pass the ball better out of the double, you know. Those are all part of the growth period, you know. That just doesn't happen. If he could do all those things, he wouldn't be here. He'd be in the NBA because everybody's looking for size, you know. He's 6'9", and by the time he's a junior, he's going to be able to do most of that stuff. By the time he's a senior, he's going to be able to do it all.
Are you guys going to try and tack on a couple of more post moves with him, maybe, or is it just about getting stronger?
No. We started late in the year. We started to get him to square up with the ball and face the basket. You know, all year long he never faced the basket, and when he became robotic with just the over the left shoulder jab hook, we decided that, you know, normally we wait till after the freshman year to do that. But late in the year last year we started with him facing and then an up and under and things like that. All the things that he'll have, you won't even remember last year by the time he's a junior, senior. Because I know our fans don't remember what Will Hutson was or Keith Benson was. All they remember is the greatness of them and how they developed and what they did. That's just part of the process. And that's why you never really want to – I mean, we were in a position when Elia left that we were playing two freshman bigs. And it's not something you want to get caught in very often. We were able to survive it, had a great year, 20-some wins, Final Four of a tournament. And Petros had a good year, and it was really a good year in saying that he had a bad part of the year, too. So he's not content. You know, he understands he's got, you know, to get better and get stronger and those types of things.
You know, Dante Williams, another guy, he reminds me, at least, excuse me, at least physique-wise of Bader when he got here. I remember seeing Bader when he first got on campus. He was a twig. Mm-hmm. There was no meat on his bones. And Dante kind of reminds me of that, a little bit more lanky. A little bit taller, but he's a stick figure. You know, you draw him with a thin pencil, and that's him. You know, are you guys looking to really bulk him up, or do you guys want to kind of keep him to be a little bit, I guess, sleeker and more streamlined? Or do you think he is going to work out better as a bigger guy?
He's got to get bigger, and he's working at that. He's got broad shoulders, so they can get bigger. Dante was given a tremendous opportunity last year as a freshman because of the need that we had. And I don't think he ran very far with that opportunity. I think he really struggled with confidence and playing. What the good for Dante is at the end of the year, he started to get over it. He started to get through it. And I've felt the best thing that could happen to Petros and Dante was that the year get over and that they get into the off season and they get working on what they've learned this freshman year, and they come back next year ready to play. And that's what I'm hoping for in both the cases, and Dante especially, because he proved at the end of the year he could make a couple jump shots, how much of a better player he was and how much more confidence he had. And, you know, we're going to need somebody else to score. I think he's somebody that can score for us. I think he's somebody that can defend, and I think he's somebody that can really rebound the offensive end. He's just not real strong, so when he goes in there he gets pushed and shoved and bumped and he's on the ground.
He can fly, though.
Yeah, he can run. He is our best athlete. He is our quickest, most athletic player, although Duke Monday will push him for that. And we've just got to see that athleticism more.
Matt Pocket, Brian Everson, along with head coach Greg Campy here on the Greg Campy Show. Coach, you know, you've talked about Duke Monday a lot, but, you know, at the same time, he's replacing Reggie Hamilton, a guy who's hoping to maybe go off to the NBA. He went to the camp in Portsmouth. Give us an update on how Reggie's doing in terms of pro prospects and hopefully the NBA draft.
Well, I don't foresee Reggie getting drafted from all my understanding of it. And, you know, I think the big question for Reggie is height, size, and defense. And he's going to have some workouts, and he's going to have – hopefully he's going to get to Chicago. I don't know if he's been invited to Chicago or not. I haven't talked to him about that. But he's going to have to prove it in those things because, Portsmouth went okay for him. It didn't go great. It didn't go horrible. You know, I know three general managers pretty well in the NBA, and not one of the three would say no, he killed himself. Did he help himself? Yeah, a little bit. Did he turn heads? No. But they all understand that the team you're on, how much you get the ball. I mean, it is what it is, you know. So he's gonna. I have been told by general managers that he will get invited to a camp. For example, I know that Atlanta has invited Keto Benson back to camp. I know that he's going to Cleveland's one-day workout the day after the draft. So things are starting to come down the pipe for Benson. The same thing's going to happen for Reggie. As they get closer to the draft and people understand who they want and what direction they're going to go, he'll start getting invitations. And he's going to have an opportunity. He will get an opportunity to be in somebody's camp and play.
Now, Keto decided after he was let go by Golden State, they had him on the 10-day. he played a couple of games with them. He decided not to go back to Sioux Falls and finish out the season there. He could have gotten a few extra games in. It probably wouldn't have been a whole lot of work. I think they probably only had, 5-10 games left in the schedule. It was something light. Do you think that changes anything at all for him, the fact that he didn't go back there one way or another?
He has an agent, a very good one, and he has NBA people surrounding him, and he's being advised by those people, so I'm assuming that the advisory people know what they're doing, and there's a reason that he did what he did. I have not talked to him about it. I do not know why he's doing what he's doing, but I do know that he's, like I said, he's been invited to Atlanta's Summer League. And the big key, if you get in Summer League, you've got a chance, because you're going to get to play 5, 6, 7, 8 games under the coaches, you know, in the system of that team, and you're going to be able to prove whether you can play or not.
Well, and what does that mean for a guy like a Will Hudson? I know last year with the lockout, he was robbed of the opportunity to maybe go to one of these camps. Do you think the fact that maybe he's gone international
hurts him
in that, or do you think that ship has sailed?
I don't think it matters. I mean, it's going to depend on Will's agent, what they can do with him. Will had a great year. I have not talked to him. I do not know yet what's down his path. I'm glad you brought his name up, because I haven't thought about him in a couple weeks. And so I probably do need to just send him an email and ask him, or text him or something like that, and ask him, you know, what his plans are, because I would like to know what's going on. I have talked to a couple people about him. I think Will's got a chance. I really do. With the year he had and the type of kid he is and what he brings to the table, I think he's got a chance to make a summer league.
All right. Coach, shifting gears, you know, the big story that's come out over the last week or so, talk about the Horizon League. Tracy Huth, the athletic director here at Oakland, had chatted with the Detroit News and basically said, yeah, we're interested, you know, if they send the offer. Of course, the Horizon League, they haven't said anything about Oakland one way or another, but it seems that all indicators are going to be that if they want Oakland, they will certainly extend the offer. The talk about, as a couple of guys stopped by the window here, howdy, fellas. You know, the issue is, of course, U of D. They could put the block on any school within a 25-mile radius. Oakland, I believe, is 21 miles inside that radius.
If you go as the crow flies, we are less than 25 miles. But if you go the distance
through the roads,
we're 27 miles. So I guess if the Horizon League really wanted us, they could use that. I don't know if Detroit's going to not want us or not. We don't know. They haven't said that to us. Now, they didn't want us 10 years ago. But a lot has changed in 10 years. So I think it's wrong to say Detroit doesn't want us. I think it's wrong to, until Detroit comes out and says what they want, I think it's wrong to guess. Just because what they did 10 years ago, there's different people. There's a different athletic director. There's a different president there. So we don't know that. I think we're stupid if we sit here, if I were to come out or Tracy were to come out and say Detroit doesn't want us, because we don't know that. We have no idea what Detroit wants. We hope they do want us. We hope that they see that we would bring what we would bring to the Horizon League. There's no question that we would be highly interested in that. From a financial standpoint, it costs a lot of money to take your baseball team and your softball team and you know, all the teams to Oral Roberts and Southern Utah and Centenary and the Dakotas and Omaha and all the places that we go, you have to fly to, where you can bus everywhere in the Horizon League. I think the Horizon League profile is a little higher. Even though Butler is leaving, and Butler was the team that took them to the Final Four twice, I still think the league's profile, if you look at the history of their RPI versus our league's RPI, even though the Summit League had a great year this year and closed the gap, it's still there is a gap there. It would be foolish of Oakland to not want, from a financial standpoint, from a missed time of class standpoint, you know, we leave on Wednesday, we're gone till Sunday, you know. I mean, that's just how the league is. So from a missed class standpoint, I'm sure it'd be less. Financially, it would be better. Basketball-wise, you know, from an RPI standpoint, it'd be better. It would be foolish of Oakland not to explore the possibility of getting in that league, and I think that's what Tracy said. We'd be very interested in exploring the possibility. No one, as of this moment, from the Horizon League has contacted Oakland. Oakland has not contacted anybody from the Horizon League that I know of, and I think I would know if that happened.
I would hope so.
It is all speculation. Then there is no. I mean, they have an opening. I think we could really build a nice case to go. I mean, you know, from a basketball. Well, first of all, we have great Olympic sports. You know, and every league needs Olympic sports. They need a baseball team, otherwise they're going to lose their automatic.
They have 2 years to fill that spot.
Right.
Otherwise, and the Summit League was looking at that
right.
When Southern Utah announced that they were going to be leaving. Is the automatic bid intact? And the answer was kind of.
Well, you
at first.
Butler's going to play next year, and then you get one year. So they don't have to fill a baseball school. But anybody that wants to get into the Horizon League can say, oh, we'll start baseball. You know, I mean, so that's really not an issue. They're not going to choose a school because they have baseball. But having good Olympic sports like we do helps the league. I mean, our soccers are great. Our swimming, obviously, is phenomenal. So we have that at Oakland. So we're going to help the Horizon League in those areas. We're going to make the Horizon League a stronger league in those areas. Now let's look at men's basketball. You know, if you take our RPI for the last 4 years, you can choose 3 years, 5 years, whatever you want. Let's choose 3 years. Let's go over the last 3 years. Would Oakland's RPI make the Horizon League a better league? And the answer is yes. In fact, our RPI would put us in the top third of the Horizon League over the last 3 years. So that would improve the Horizon League. How about attendance? Our attendance figures over the last 3 years were in the top third of the Horizon League. You know, 2 years ago we averaged 4,100. Last year we averaged 3,300. Those numbers would put us in the top three or four teams in that league. So is that going to make the Horizon League better? Yes, that's going to make the Horizon League better. It's the flagship sport of the Horizon League is basketball. Is Oakland University going to help the Horizon League in basketball? And based on those numbers, attendance, finances, money-making ability, and RPI, were we good? I think the answer is yes. I think more so than maybe anybody that's out there that would have an interest in going to the Horizon League, I think we're at the top of that.
Now, there were some issues that people were looking at. There's a requirement that says that you need a 5,000-seat arena.
Any one of those requirements they have can be changed by a vote of the council.
Right.
If they want Oakland in the league, they can make the rules fit so that we can get in there. The Horizon League is going to do what's best for the Horizon League. They're not going to do what's good for Oakland or what's good for Detroit or what's good for Cleveland State or Green Bay. They're going to do what's best for the Horizon League. So when they meet and they sit and talk and they banter around, who can replace Butler? What's our future look like? What's our mission? What do we want? They're going to come up with a wish list of schools that fit what they want. We're hoping Oakland's one of those. We're not there's nothing we can do. We can't convince them that we're one of those. They're smart people. So they will listen to each other. They will try and figure out what they want. And then they'll match up. Okay, if I want a basketball team that's been in the last 3 years or last 5 years that's got a double-digit RPI, you know, our average RPI over the last 2 years, let's see, we were 50-50 and 140. So that's 240 divided by 3 is 80, right? So our average RPI over the last 3 years is double digits. So you would think they'd want a top 100 school. Oakland fits. What about attendance? Do we want to bring somebody in with a building that's less than 5,000, but they fill it, and they have a higher attendance than 7 out of the 10 schools in our league? Then Oakland fits that. Do we want them in a geographical footprint that doesn't expand our league's footprint? Then Oakland fits that. Do we want them close? I mean, let's talk about saving money. If you come play Detroit and Oakland on the same weekend, you'd stay in the same hotel.
Yeah.
You don't have to get a late checkout for a game or leave early. You can
bus up to Fargo bus down to Brookings.
Right. You can stay in the same hotel for both games. So the convenience of the footprint, is that what we want to do? Then Oakland would fit. But if they're sitting there going, we want to expand our footprint, we want to get into Kentucky, we want to get into Pennsylvania, we want this, we want that, Oakland might not fit those. And then they won't ask us, you know. So there's really nothing we can do. We're prepared, if they call us, we're prepared to spout out the greatness that we are and what we can bring to them. But they know that already. They're not stupid. They're smart
people. That's why they're calling.
Right. They're smart people. They're very smart people. Look what they've done. Look what that league's done. So they're smart people. They're going to make a decision. And we're at the mercy of their decision. We're hoping that all those things I just talked about are important to them. That bringing in a swimming power is important to them. That having good soccer programs is important to them. Our tennis has been terrible. So if they want good tennis, it ain't Oakland. You know. Now nobody's going
to. That's the deal breaker.
But nobody's going to. Yeah, nobody's going to pick a school because of you know, tennis or something like that. But they're going to pick a school for the whole. Whatever they decide they want, they're going to ask the school that best fits that. They may want to go to 12 teams. They may want to stay at 9. They're going to make those decisions. So, you know, I'm getting a lot of calls from reporters saying, you know, to Detroit. I'm not even thinking about the Detroit thing, you know, because that was 10 years ago.
Our buddy Jimmy Lemke from UW-Milwaukee, he's talked about a couple of these things. One, he said it's something like an 8-hour car drive from here to there, it's nothing really. I mean, right. If you wanted to bring a couple hundred fans on a bus, you could bring a couple hundred fans on a bus, and it wouldn't be going to Fargo, going to Sioux Falls, going to Tulsa.
That's for us is what we're interested in.
And that's even easier for some of these other teams that are in the conference that don't have to go all the way around the Great Lakes.
Our student radio can go do league games.
That would be nice.
Right. You know, you see what I'm saying?
I probably won't be here,
right,
but
I'm saying
it would be nice.
Our student radio can do that. We couldn't do that. We can't do that in the Summit League. Our fans can go to a road game. Cleveland State is 3 hours.
Yep.
Wright State is 3 hours. Detroit is 20 minutes.
Youngstown State's not that far either.
Youngstown State's 4 hours. Valpo is 3.5 hours. You've just listed half the teams in the league.
And a natural rivalry with Valparaiso already. Right. They were ex-MidCon. Right.
Chicago's 5 hours. And then the two Wisconsin schools probably won't get a lot of people going up there, but it's 8 hours. So, I mean, we have two teams in our league, well, maybe three in Western Illinois that are 8 hours. Western's about 8 hours away. But we don't get fans at Western.
That's a close drive.
Right. So, you know, that it makes the whole experience better if we're fortunate enough to get invited to that league.
What do you think, if any, are some of downfalls of leaving the Summit League? For basketball, at least in particular.
From a basketball standpoint? Well, you know, I think we've been fairly dominant over the last, you know, so many years, and that's not going to happen. You know, that there's we're not going to walk into the Horizon League and have expectations that we're going to win three straight championships. Now, the fans might have those expectations. My boss might have those expectations. All right? But I'm not going to have expectations like that. I mean, the top of that, I think the top of the Summit League, the teams can compete favorably at the top of the Horizon. But I guess the best way to look at it is history. How did Valpo do? Valpo was a dominant team in the Summit League.
Maybe the most dominant ever.
Yes. Just more so than we. And we've had some domination. I mean, we've broken their records, you know, 40-3. Nobody ever did that in the Summit League. So from a short term, we dominated more than anybody. But in the long term, Valpo probably is the most dominant team ever. So how did they do when they left the Horizon and went to, or left the Summit and went to the Horizon League? They have yet to be in the NCAA tournament. All right? They have yet to make the NCAA tournament. Have they won the regular season league championship? Yes. This year was the first time. Now, their first year in the Horizon League, I think they went around 500, and they were in the middle of the pack. We're going to have a pretty good team if that year. I mean, I think if you look at us in 2014, I mean, we're poised to be really, really good that year. Bader will be a senior. Duke Mundy will be a senior. Petros will be a junior. Dante Williams will be a junior. Poaches will be a junior. You know, we're poised to have all these young kids we've played will be juniors and seniors that year. So we would be able to come out and go in, right into the league if that's the year we went into the league, and we would believe that we would be able to compete favorably that first year. But how would we be the second year? And how, you know, I can't say how that goes, but I think you look at history and see it was not just Valpo didn't just walk in there and just, you know, dominate the Horizon. And I think you have to be understanding that's how it'd be for us too.
How does it change recruiting in terms of maybe the blueprint of where you can go into?
Well,
the level.
I think that when you're playing in Chicago, that you have a better chance of getting into Chicago. I think we've enhanced.
Even though you picked a pretty good one out of there,
right,
already.
We've enhanced our Chicago base because of what Reggie's done. I mean, the people know who we are now, and I think we have a better chance to recruit in Chicago. But now it's really going to enhance it because we're going to be able to tell the kid that, you know, we're going to come home. You're going to come home, play a couple games every year, you know, here and that. So that'll help it. But I also think that, you know, there's a higher profile for a recruit when you say the Horizon League because of what Butler's done. I mean, you can sit there and say, from the Horizon League, there's a team that was in the championship game 2 years in a row. So, you know, in the Summit League, we're trying to win a game in the NCAA tournament. You know, we're trying to get the high enough seed that we can go win. And we haven't won in the NCAA tournament. Oakland won it's not called the play-in game. It's called the opening round in 2005. And before, and that's the only win we've had since Valpo went to the Sweet 16 in 97. So, you know, that's 15 years. So there is definitely a higher profile when you've got a team from that league in the championship game twice. And multiple wins in the NCAA tournament. Cleveland State won a game. Detroit back in the early 2000s won it, beat UCLA. So, you know, I mean, you're stupid if you don't sit there and look at those things and say, that's going to help you. I mean, obviously, we it's going to improve where we can go and what houses we can get in.
Absolutely. Coach, you know, one more note real quick from Jimmy, too. He mentioned how the situation, the last couple of times that the Horizon League has needed to add a couple teams, the situation's been a little bit different, too. Youngstown State was one of the teams that got added a few years back. And that was born out of, well, they just wanted to expand the number of teams. Right. And he said, well, look at Youngstown State. They are sinking everybody's RPI. So,
and which is why we hope that when...
To elevate the RPI.
Right, that when the powers that be get together, they look at what do we want to do to improve our conference. Well, we need a team that's got an RPI history. And we do. You know, we have a good RPI recent history. And, you know, there's no reason to believe that that's going to change. I mean, we just lost four pros off a team, came back this year, had 20 wins, you know, went to a Final Four of a postseason tournament. And now we're returning four starters, and in those four starters, there's only one senior there. So the next few years appear that we're going to be able to continue that RPI.
Absolutely. Coach, this is it. We're in the final minute or so of the show here for this season. How about that?
Yeah. It'll be just a snap of the fingers, and we'll be back. Time goes, man. You get to be my age, man. Time goes so fast. So, but, it, you know, I think just to review the year, I think that when we lost Dilley, I think there were a lot of people who questioned what was going to happen, and I think that our young freshmen got, you know, trial by the fire or whatever that statement is, and I really think we had a really good year. Was it the type of year that we've had before that? No, but it wasn't the same team. Like I said, we lost four pros off that team, and we came back and got another 20-win season, beat Tennessee at home, had some wonderful moments, and most importantly, we've put a team coming back that's got a chance to be really good, and really good for a long time, because, we'll, like I said, we'll have one senior next year.
And we were number one in the ratings.
And still the number one rated show in the history of shows. I appreciate, man.
We are not going to get knocked off this perch anytime soon, I hope.
Not as long as we're the Raiders. But I want to thank you, Matt and Brian.
Thank you, Coach.
For having me on this show and for all you guys do during the year. And this was a year that you guys set the record, won the gold record for the top student radio station in sports in Michigan. So
it helps to have good games to call and a good coach who gives us lots of quotes. So
well, the good of that is we didn't get the ring this year, but you did. So next year, let's both get rings.
Let's work on that. Coach, thank you so much. Again, the final edition of the Greg Campy Show from this season. Thanks to everybody as well for tuning in all year long, every episode. If you want to go back and just rummage through the archives, they're up on WXOU.org. Thanks again, Coach. We'll see you around. Have a good summer, folks. We'll see you back here next year.